Well, good evening, everyone, and let me add my word of welcome. My name is Josh. I'm one of the ministry trainees here at St. Andrew's Free Church. In a moment, we're going to be reading God's word together, reading from 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 19. But before we do that, let me start with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that we can meet together and be encouraged and to grow through it. Lord, we thank you that you are our faithful creator and that we can call to you for help in understanding your words to us because of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Please help our hearts to be stilled and to listen and change according to your word. We ask these things in Christ's precious name. Amen. Well, let's read together 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 19, starting with verse 12. Beloved, do not be surprised at fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a meddler. Yet, if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. And if it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Well, I wonder if any of you have spent any time on a website called opendoors.org. It's devoted to telling the stories of persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. It has a ranking of the most persecuted places to be a Christian, and at the top of that list is North Korea. Yet, the website is filled with all sorts of stories of how the church is growing right across these different countries. It's a hugely humbling and difficult exercise to do, reading through the stories and accounts of people dealing with the persecution of family and government for what they believe. Often I find myself surprised when I read these stories. How can things like this happen in the 21st century? Why are these people being put to death for what they believe? But even more so than this, one of the most humbling things is seeing that these people don't just give up on their faith. Instead, they praise God. One story from Open Doors told of a Christian who'd be returning to North Korea to continue ministry there. She was quoted to have said, "I cannot find the words to express how grateful my heart is, how great and how amazing God's grace is upon me. I am less worthy than an insect who crawls on the ground, but God pours out his grace over me." I was blown away when I read these responses to suffering and persecution faced here for being a Christian. But yet, in 1 Peter, we're reminded that this is sadly nothing new. But we'll see as we work our way through this passage that Peter wants all Christians to adopt the same attitude, to not be surprised, but instead to keep trusting God and praising him as we live for him. The last time we were looking at 1 Peter, we saw the importance of living differently to the world around us. Chapter 4 begins by reminding us of the hope found in trusting in Jesus. But not only that, the chapter calls us to begin to look forward to the glory that is to come, not in this life. Peter reminds his audience and us today that we need to leave our sin behind and to love God's people, because there will be an end to the suffering soon. Not only will there be an end to the suffering of his people, but there will be victory and glory to God through this. Peter continues this argument throughout verses 12 to 19 that God will be victorious, and this will shape how we view suffering for our faith today. If you're on a device, you should be able to look up at the service sheet and see the direction that we're going to go today. But if you're here in the halls, you should be able to see on the screen beside me the key points from these few verses. And the first point that 1 Peter 4 brings to us is this: do not be surprised by suffering, but in it rejoice. That's do not be surprised by suffering, but in it rejoice. Read with me again verses 13 and 14. Peter reminds us that when the suffering comes, to look to Christ, who has been through this, and to rejoice in it. Verses 13 and 14 say, "But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." The theme of suffering is not difficult to come by throughout 1 Peter. Either Christ's suffering or the suffering of the church is the constant driving point of the book. Chapter 1 shows us the prediction by the prophets that Christ must suffer sacrificially for his people. Similarly, in chapters 2 and 3, Christ suffered and died for the sins that he did not commit, being rejected and eventually killed by humanity. Chapter 2, verse 2 tells us he committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. Christ was suffering for sins that he did not commit. And Christ's sufferings aren't the only suffering that 1 Peter reminds us of. Throughout this book, we have seen the fact that the original audience would have been under a huge amount of pressure to conform to the world around them. These churches would have been mocked and ridiculed for everything that they believe as they were living in pagan communities. How easy for them would it have been to simply quit, to give up their faith, to conform to what the world around them wanted? But yet, in the face of a desire to give up, Peter points them back to the perfect example. He points them back to Christ's suffering and eventual death on the cross. But again, not just to exemplify how we suffer, but the necessity of it in the Christian life. His rejection and death sets a pattern for the exiled life, because through this, the Christian can understand verse 14 of chapter 4. If you're insulted for the name of Christ, you're blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. When suffering comes, the Christians are called to endure, because when they do, the very Spirit and true grace of God rests upon them. It's important to note a couple of things about suffering in the Christian life, as well as in the context of 1 Peter. Peter is talking here about the suffering the people went through for their faith specifically. If we're suffering, therefore, for our own lawlessness or our own sinful desires, we don't suffer with Christ. Look at verse 15. Peter lists a number of things that we shouldn't be persecuted for being a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, even something like meddling in the affairs of others. As Christians, we should be living good and distinctly different lives. Nor are these verses talking about the suffering caused by living in a broken and sinful world. For example, in sickness or natural disasters. Peter is specifically talking about the pain which comes through suffering for faith in calling Jesus Lord. He reminds us that the suffering will come for our faith. And it won't just be any small thing. It'll be a fiery trial. It's not an inconvenience. It's not a one-off situation. It's constant, ongoing, and intense agony. Imagine being in the exiled churches at this point. Imagine the helplessness, the frustration that comes with continual ridicule of people in your town. The fact that you could be tried and persecuted for your belief, and even more so, you could be killed for professing that truth that Jesus is Lord. As Christians, when this suffering comes, we shouldn't be surprised. Perhaps you're listening today and you're thinking, I don't feel particularly persecuted. What does that mean? Maybe you're not a Christian here today. And you're looking at the church in the UK or in the West and thinking, it doesn't look particularly persecuted. There's a couple of reminders in this passage. Firstly, in keeping with the context of 1 Peter, there's a preparatory nature to this, to these words. These instructions remind us that even when we don't feel persecuted, we need to be prepared for when it does come to the church. You don't have to look too far or too long before you find Christians being persecuted all across the world. Take, for example, as I said earlier, North Korea. Look at the injustices which happen here. Peter is telling people to hold on to the hope that Christ offers us and to not be surprised by the suffering for our faith. On the other hand, there will be some people here today or online at home who are really feeling the pressure to conform to the world around us. Perhaps the Christmas break has been really tough and served as a reminder that there is a distinct difference between you and your friends or your neighbours, your family, who haven't yet put their trust in God. Maybe the workplace is a really difficult place for you because standing out for Jesus is just really difficult. Perhaps you're dreading going back this week. There's a great moment of encouragement here to know that when someone does suffer for being Christian, there's a point to it all. It's not as if we're living this way on our own. Peter points us back to Christ. When suffering does come to the Christian because of their faith, we're suffering in the same way that Jesus himself suffered. Just as we're joined with Jesus when we suffer, we see a foretaste of the glory that is to come in the future. Peter reminds his audience that this suffering isn't just for a little while. Peter reminds his audience that the suffering is just for a little while and points to the fact that Christ was raised from the dead. Suffering is not the ultimate state for the Christian life. Instead, it's a foretaste of this glory that will come. That very Spirit of God who rested on Jesus now rests on us and is a reminder of this glory. What wonderful truth. And yet it's something we need to be reminded of constantly, day after day. When we suffer for what we believe, we should take the same heart as these exiles that Peter was writing to takes. Knowing that Jesus knows and understands and sympathizes with our situation. He went through it first for our sake. We can and should rightly rejoice when suffering comes our way, because it shows that we are struggling and being persecuted with Christ. We're joining with him, and in a sense, we get a taste of this glory and what it will be like with him. So don't be surprised when suffering comes, but rejoice and give praise to God. And this brings us on to our second point. Entrust your soul to God and continue to do good. Peter continues his argument throughout this by telling us in verse 16 not to be ashamed of our suffering with Christ. Instead, we need to rejoice fully in the fact that we are suffering for having that name. Read with me verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name. When we experience suffering for Christ, we are not to be ashamed. Instead, we glorify God. This imperative isn't coming from a vacuum. In fact, Peter is one of the best examples for our clinging to Christ and the entrusting of our souls to him. The Gospels show us this character of Peter, who was so ashamed that he denied Jesus three times to a slave girl on the night that Jesus died. And yet, here he is showing a wonderful example of Jesus' redemptive forgiveness and re-establishment. So much so, Peter is able to tell us the best remedy for that situation when you're feeling persecuted is to know that when we suffer for Christ, we do not be ashamed. We cling to Christ and glorify God. And so, what do? We entrust our entire beings to God. 1 Peter tells us to entrust our very soul to God. And when I was first looking through this passage, I was a bit confused by what the word soul meant in verse 19. Perhaps you're not familiar with the idea of a soul, so let me put it another way. Peter is telling those who believe in God, when they experience suffering for their faith, to cling on to the creator of the universe with all of their mind, with all of their body, and with their entire being. Peter tells believers that no matter how difficult the circumstances, how bleak the persecution looks, to hold on, because Christ has already suffered through these things. We need to fasten our eyes to Christ, to see an understanding, sympathetic God who is able to strengthen his followers to endure. To borrow the title of Tim Chester's book, we need to be captured by a better vision. We need to be captured by the vision of Christ who understands our pain. And through our struggling, God will make known his glory. And verses 17 and 18 point us to this truth. Let me read them again. For it is time for judgment to begin at the household of God. If it begins with us, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And if the righteous is scarcely saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner? There's a really important differentiation drawn here between God's punishment and his fatherly discipline. We can know that God is using the felt suffering to refine our faith, to make us more Christ-like. Peter reminds us that our suffering now is not suffering as a result of our sin, but rather it's suffering as a result for our faith in Christ. It's helping us grow. It tests our faith so that we will become stronger, like a refining fire. Peter is also showing the contrast between those who have trusted in Christ, whom he calls the household of God, and those who haven't, who he describes as the ungodly. He says that for those who are not in the household of God, they will experience no suffering in the present. But in eternity, they will experience real and deadly suffering. It will make the suffering of the godly in the present pale in comparison. When those who believe in Christ reach eternity, their suffering will be endured and over. Peter points believers to the future to know that their persecution has an end. And when it does, we'll be joined with Christ in glory, where there will be no more suffering. The exile churches are being reminded they need to respond wisely to the trials which they will face for their beliefs. Peter explains that the decisions which are made in life today, how Christians handle situations they're placed in, do have eternal consequences. Christians are being called to endure the persecution they're going through now because it is a reminder that we suffer with Christ. We will receive the glory which Christ has now already received in the next life. And this is so important to hold on to today, yet is one of the first things which we forget. Persecution faced and suffered by everyone here in the halls listening online will be different. Perhaps you're in a sports team and you're ridiculed for your very different views on alcohol, partying. Or perhaps you're in a family who is raising children very differently to the neighbours or other parents at school. Perhaps this brings more friction to these relationships. Or maybe you have an older family. Your beliefs have strained relationships with children or parents. This passage is showing us that even though there may be heartbreak, broken relationships, and difficulties in this life, we're reminded to cling to our good and loving Creator. Folks, perhaps you're not a Christian listening along today. Please know what Peter's talking about has very real implications. God's judgment is a very real thing. I'm sorry if that's an uncomfortable thing to come to terms with. But what is hugely encouraging about these verses is that Peter points us to the answer. Peter reassures us that when you call on the name of Christ, you will be blessed. Perhaps this is the first time you've heard any of this and you have lots of questions. Perhaps you'd just like to hear more about what it means to be a follower of Christ. Tonight, if you're here in the halls, please do grab either Paul or myself afterwards. We'd love to have a chat. Or if you're online, it would be great if you emailed the church or got in touch via social media. In either case, this passage is a reminder that the Christian life comes with persecution. However, we can be reassured and encouraged by the fact we will be blessed in this life after death. 1 Peter 4, verses 12 to 19 tells us that persecution will come in this life. Things will be difficult for those who exclaim Christ is Lord. But this isn't an eternal suffering. In fact, it reminds us that we are united with Christ through his suffering. Through this, we glorify God because of his love for us. We can entrust our very beings to God, knowing he will equip us through this persecution. And so we need to continue to live vastly different lives than from those around us. As we do so, we don't wonder if it's enough. We don't fear our own efforts. We don't even fear those around us. No, we do it knowing God is our faithful creator, that his son has gone before us, and in him we can keep putting one foot in front of the other all the way until he returns or calls us home. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that we can cling to you as the powerful creator of this universe. Thank you that we know and trust in your word, knowing that suffering will come. And God, we thank you for the words of 1 Peter, that we can be so encouraged and spurred on to be reminded of your grace and love to us. Lord, we pray for those in the East who are suffering right now. We pray for all of our brothers and sisters in places like North Korea, where their faith is constantly under attack. Father, we ask you'll continue to strengthen and encourage them in their walk with you as they face very real and dangerous persecution. We also pray for those of us at home here in the East and the West, for those here who are facing the persecution. We ask that you strengthen and encourage them, Lord. And give wisdom to face these struggles. For those whose hearts this passage is preparing, Father, help them to face what persecution will come. For all these things, we ask in Christ's precious and holy name. Amen.